Welcome to Passing the Plate, the podcast that's all about food, traditions, and the incredible connections they create. I'm Ashley Covelli, the food writer and recipe developer behind Big Flavors from a Tiny Kitchen.
And I'm Lisa Lisson, the genealogist and family history expert behind Are You My Cousin? We are your guides on this flavor-packed adventure. We're not just talking about recipes. We're diving into family history, exploring new cultures, and preserving favorite recipes for future generations. In short, we're celebrating the stories and tastes that come with every bite.
So grab a seat at the table and let's head out on a journey of flavor, tradition, and connection. This is Passing the Plate, where every episode is a feast for the senses and a celebration of togetherness.
We are in the midst of planning my daughter's wedding for June, and so in this episode, Ashley and I are talking all about wedding foods and their traditions.
So Lisa, this topic's been hitting particularly close to home for you lately, right?
Oh yes, so we are in full wedding planning mode, and it's so different, Ashley, from when I got married many moons ago, and there are so many more details to take care of, and of course, we are doing it from a little bit of a distance. My daughter and I do not live in the same town or the same state, so we are having to coordinate across a distance, but that, you know, she is such a rock star. She has been doing such a fantastic job with her spreadsheets and keeping everything going. I've been really impressed, but it's a lot to do. I don't know how couples do it like this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like even since, I can't remember how long have you been married?
I have been married. Okay, you put me on the spot. Okay,
we got to do math. I'm going to do my math.
Okay, so I have been married, 34 years.
Wow, that's amazing. When this episode comes out next month, I'll be at 17 years. So even since I've been married, I feel like things have changed a ton because, like, we didn't have smartphones and, like, I mean, obviously we had the internet, but it wasn't quite so intense. Like, I wasn't making Pinterest boards for my wedding or anything like that. So I feel like there's been a lot of differences. In some ways, it might be easier, but also maybe a little more complicated because you have almost too many options.
You know, I think that you just hit the nail on the head. There are so many more options out there. It is such a larger industry than it was certainly when I was getting married. And most weddings when I was getting married back in 1990 was tended to be very similar, you know, whether you get married in church or in an event, but they tended to kind of have a very similar flavor, a similar flow to them when I got married. So it did seem less complicated, but then again, my mom was such a huge help with that maybe she smoothed things over that maybe I didn't quite realize.
Right.
Thank you, Mom.
So, yeah, seriously. So I noticed as far as food, especially when I moved from Wisconsin to New York, I realized there was a big difference in wedding food. So I'm curious, what is wedding food typically like in your part of the country?
That's a really good question. And I think this has really evolved. Even though I live in the South, I do think this has truly evolved. Back when I got married in 1990, weddings typically here in the South were lighter in food when it came to reception. So it really was kind of traditional reception food. And for some reason, buttermints always come to my brain because we had a lot of those and the Jordan almonds and the little packages. But it typically was just more of a reception type thing. When we had friends getting married up in New England, I was so surprised because those weddings were full sit-down meals. And we really were not having that here in the southern states when I was getting married. So that was something I thought was really interesting. Now, come forward many years, and certainly that's what we're seeing. It's not a requirement, certainly, by any means, but you are seeing heavier hors d'oeuvre types of foods. They might be themed. It could be a Tex-Mex theme. It could be a southern type of food theme. It could be a barbecue theme. It could really be pretty much anything that we're seeing now. And of course, we are seeing, you know, I do see more and more of my children's contemporaries having full sit-down meals. But that has definitely been, I think that for me, when it came to wedding planning, was one of the biggest changes that I was seeing and a little overwhelming, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the weddings that I went to as a kid or even a teenager, like family weddings and stuff in the Midwest, was like Indiana, Wisconsin, was definitely very light on the food. A lot of times it was like you'd go to a like some sort of, not like a VA hall or something like that, just for like picnic tables and like nothing fancy at all, just like little tiny appetizers or whatever. Then when I moved to New York, I went to my very first New York wedding was for a friend of ours who had like the biggest wedding I'd ever been to. She had, I want to say like 14 or 16 bridesmaids and groomsmen. And the meal was, I was blown away. It was, there was a cocktail hour, which I had never heard of before, full of so many hors d'oeuvres and like a giant ice sculpture full of shrimp cocktail, carving stations with like a whole turkey and like all these big, huge pieces of meat, like plenty of food for just like the meal. And then we sat down and had a 14-course dinner.
Oh, wow.
Like it was bonkers, and like dessert tables and people dancing with like flaming, I don't even remember what, like to serve, and an ice cream cart and this giant cannoli shell filled with cannolis. It was, I mean, coming from deviled eggs and finger sandwiches to that, it was just like, it completely blew my mind.
That's interesting. You know, what strikes my mind there is that even though I grew up in the South, you grew up in the Midwest, we were both coming from that sense of, as you said, finger foods, more the deviled eggs, the pickles, I do remember that, the mints type of thing. And yes, my first wedding up in the North was, I will never forget when you said they had the cocktail hour, which again, we had not heard about, didn't have that really here in the South. When I went to the cocktail hour at that wedding, I thought that was the reception. Like you said, there was more than enough food for everybody, you know, for a meal. I was shocked when after, you know, an hour to or however
cocktail
long it
hours.
Was,
yeah.
They opened up the door into the main reception area, which was the sit down dinner. And I was floored. I was so stunned. I had no idea. I didn't know where I had landed, quite
yeah.
frankly.
Well, my family, when they came, so my side of the family that came out to New York when I got married was a lot smaller, and we didn't have, it wasn't as intense. Like, my first New York wedding experience is still one of the biggest weddings I've ever been to. Like, that was also, not an anomaly, but it was also very different from what I'm used to. But we did have a cocktail hour, and we got to do, I mean, I obviously love food, so I wanted to make it fun. And the wedding planner at the venue, he just kept saying, like, what else? What else? What else do you want? And I was like, he's like, what kind of food do you like? And somehow, so we landed on, we had, like, a bunch of past appetizers, but I remember we had a mashed potato bar, which is like one of my favorite things ever. So we had garlic mashed, regular mashed, and sweet potato mashed, and then all these different toppings, like, you know, bacon bits and cheddar and chives and frizzled onions. And they had little like ice cream sundae glasses for people to like make their own part, like basically like a sundae, but it was mashed potatoes. But so lots of different past things. And the only thing that we added on was a sushi station. So that was really cool. So my family definitely thought that was the dinner. Like, there was, you know, all sorts of food. And then out here, a lot of times people will have you, when you RSVP, you have to say if you want chicken, fish, or steak, or vegetarian. And we decided we'll have a vegetarian thing, but for everybody else, we'll do like a sampler. So it was, everybody got like a little petite filet and a little piece of chicken and a little piece of salmon. So people wouldn't have to make decisions about it. And it went over really well. But yeah, my family sat down and there was like pasta at the table and all this stuff. And they were just like, what is going on?
I love the idea that you, instead of having to choose one or the other,
yeah,
that you had that sampler plate. And then, of course, the vegetarian option. But listen, I love the whole idea of a baked potato bar. It's like, now I want to have one
mashed potato, but a baked potato bar would be great too.
Right. Mashed potato, excuse me. But yeah, right. And now I'm like, can I do that for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
I love potatoes. But, you know, one thing that was so, I have found really different now from, say, when I got married, and I expect when you got married, I'll be interested to hear what your experience was, is really around the wedding cake.
Mm.
You know, that was a centerpiece, certainly, when you got married at the reception. And so, you know, I had a multi-tiered wedding cake. But now what I see young couples doing, and what my daughter was telling me, is that they're doing much smaller cakes. So maybe one or two tiers. And or if they do like a three-tier cake, one of those layers that might actually be a faux layer. And so that's the cake that the couple cuts, mm-hmm. the traditional cake cutting. And of course, they'll save the top layer and freeze it to have on their first anniversary. But then the caterers will take it back, and then the guests are actually served slices of a sheet cake. Some I'm seeing have been using cupcakes instead. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was a really interesting concept. And so when I asked my daughter about it, she said, "Mom, it comes down to finances." She said, "Cakes are very, very expensive, and you know, they're works of art. They're gorgeous with that." But she said, so a lot of what couples are doing now in order to kind of preserve the budget, their wedding budget, is then they'll have that traditional cake cutting, but for just general eating, it's the same cake, but it's just done in a sheet cake or a cupcake form. And so it's served that way. Yeah. So I thought that was a really interesting concept. And I thought, it actually kind of makes sense.
I didn't even think of it being like for the cost because of the decoration, but that does make a lot of sense. I thought the cupcake thing, because we do see that fairly often now out here too, that it had more to do with like not having to cut it, because then you're just the individual portions. And I know a lot of times they'll have different flavors. Because out here, a lot of places, if you don't get your cake from the venue, like if you use a different baker, they'll charge a cake cutting fee. Mm. So they charge you to cut it up.
That's interesting.
I can't remember if our venue charged that fee, but I'm not a huge cake person. I don't know. I love pie, but I'm not like huge into cake because I don't love frosting. But we did have cake at one wedding, and I loved the cake, so we asked them who their baker was, and I honestly didn't even care if we had a cake, but my husband wanted one, so we did red velvet because that's his favorite. I was all about this chocolate fountain, although now I'm kind of like, that's kind of gross. I don't know. Now I'm just, it's a little, I don't know if I would, if I were to have been getting married now, I probably wouldn't have done that, but the look of it, there was a show on VH1. Was it The Surreal Life? Or it was a bunch of celebrities. Like, one of the brothers from the Brady Bunch was on it. Obviously, they're all grown up now. So he and this woman who was the winner of America's Next Top Model, one of the first seasons, they ended up in real life then getting married. And their wedding cake was beautiful. It was, like, white with red and black little, like, swirlies and red roses. And I loved that. So I just showed the baker a picture, and I was like, this is what I want it to look like. I really didn't care about having a cake otherwise, but it was very good. And we did save the top tier to do the first anniversary thing. But I'm curious, did you and your husband do the smash it in the other person's face thing?
No, not at all. We had discussed that ahead of time, and neither one of us wanted to do it. But it was really more of like, you're not doing that right type of conversation. Mm-hmm. So it was never a, you know, okay, I won't do it. Neither one of us really was into that. So now, how about you guys?
We had that conversation too, because I was like, I'm paying to get makeup done. I really don't want frosting all over my face. And also, it just seemed like it would be annoying. And I wasn't sure that I trusted that he wouldn't do it. There's a really funny picture from our wedding of me like jokingly holding up the giant like knife that we used to cut to cut the cake with a threatening look. We have that sense of humor, but I think we did like just a tiny little bit of frosting, but no, we did not smash it in each other's face. Threats were made, and you know.
Now you said red velvet cake.
Yes, so it was like a cream cheese frosting.
Sounds delicious. I had the very traditional white cake with the traditional icing that was on it. And I am an icing frosting person. Mm. I love frosting. But anyway, and that was something, you know, pretty much growing up until, I don't know, well after I was married, my group of friends got married, it was all pretty much the same type of cake.
Right.
And people might have a groom's cake, which would have been chocolate.
Oh.
Personally, my favorite, but because I'm a chocoholic. But we really weren't seeing that the different flavors. And that's actually something that my daughter has really enjoyed doing is, of course, the cake testing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can try the different flavors. And I was just surprised because I didn't know a lot about the different. I actually kind of tried to steer her away. You know, I said, don't do a red velvet, actually, because I was like, Well, what happens if you eat red velvet and then you smile and your teeth are all red?
Oh, that's funny. that didn't even cross my mind. I guess there's so much other food things to worry about, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, so
that's really
fun. But the cakes are fun. You know, one thing's interesting. The other thing that I'm noticing is that that we don't really see the toppers on the cakes as much. Mm. So we used to have the bride and the groom on the top of a cake, right? There's toppers, but I'm not seeing that around when I look on different, you know, when I look at other people's wedding photographs and things, I see these beautiful cakes, but I'm not seeing the topper. So I thought that was just kind of an interesting trend maybe, or that we've kind of moved away from. So yeah. I'd be curious to know if other people are seeing that or not.
Yeah, maybe we should start a thread like over on Facebook or something for people to post their wedding cakes. That would be fun to look at.
That would be fun to look at. I'm gonna have to pull mine out. I'm gonna go pull mine out today. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I need to pull that out.
Mine we just had, there was red roses. I think there was probably some on top. It was very pretty. But yeah, I think I've had a few friends who've done like kind of themed toppers that showed like their interests, like baseball or something mm-hmm. like that, or like Star Wars. I feel like I've been to a wedding where my friends were like had Star Wars characters on top. But and also there's some that do like the like script letters, like it says like their last name or something like that. But yeah, I definitely don't see a lot of the traditional like bride and groom standing as I used to. And donut walls. Have you seen donut walls at weddings?
I have. Yeah. I've been to one wedding with a donut wall. I thought that was the most intriguing thing, and it's so tempting. It's like, oh, yeah, but it's a whole donut. I don't know if I can eat a whole donut and the cake.
Yeah.
So, there's a decision that had to be made. But I went with the cake, just so you know. But yeah, I think it's really a cool thing. Actually, it's a lot of fun. I just remember the younger guests, you know, the elementary, middle school kids, and they're looking at that donut wall going, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And the mom's having this slightly panicked look of like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, that cake doesn't come out till like 9 o'clock at night and the kids are sugared up. And yeah, that's yep. always fun. Have you ever asked Grandma for one of her secret family recipes? We've all been there. You try to bake her signature dessert and it's a total flop. She swears she told you exactly what she does, a pinch of this and a dash of that and bake till done. But what does that really mean? With the Passing the Plate video, webinar, and ebook bundle, we'll help you record recipes in a way that's easy to repeat at home. Learn to modernize favorite family recipes in a way that works for your lifestyle. And most importantly, preserve and share your culinary memories, recipes, and traditions with others. To learn more, head to passingtheplate.org/resources. So, U.S. weddings seem to be fairly different from state to state. And I know even as an adult, I went back to Wisconsin for a wedding and there was a meal there. I think, I can't remember if there were appetizers, but it was like a cash bar, which is a little different than like the unlimited, all you can drink type of things that are common out here. But that's definitely one of those things that can eat up your budget if you're trying to plan and stick within it.
Definitely.
So what about, have you been to any weddings outside of the U.S.?
You know, I've been to one wedding outside of the U.S. This was in Finland, and this was many, many years ago. I was a teenager. So I think we shared in a previous episode that I was a exchange student to Finland for a summer. And I actually went back and attended a wedding. So it was two twin sisters who married two brothers. And it was a fabulous double wedding. It was an amazing wedding.
It sounds like a movie. The weather.
It doesn't it, though? But no, it was really fun. It was absolutely fun. I was so excited that I could be there. And the thing is, I know we were talking earlier, I don't remember as much about the food. I remember thinking it felt very similar and familiar to weddings I had attended back in the States. In other words, you know, it was a church wedding, and then we were back at we're actually at their summer house but for the reception, and there was just a lot of food and family and friends and a variety of drinks that they had, and so that, and they had the cakes as well. Mm. So we had the cakes and they cut the cake and the whole bit. So it, when I think about it, what I actually remember is really very a lot of similarities to what we had here.
That's awesome. I still want to do an episode about your Finland experience and the food because I'm so intrigued.
We have to do that. I'm still in touch with friends over there. So yeah, I can get some recipes.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't been to any weddings outside of the country, but interestingly enough, we had intended to record this episode the last time that we got together, but we didn't end up getting to it. And since then, one of my cousins over in Iran got married. So I was able to get some intel from another cousin of mine. A couple of them speak pretty good English, so I was able to get some intel. So I got to tell you, it looked lavish beyond lavish. Like, I've never seen anything like that. I wish that the world was a place where it was reasonable and feasible and safe for me to travel there, but it's currently not. So I asked my cousin, well, not the one who got married, different cousin, about the food, and I'm going to read a little bit from what I copied over from what she said. So I asked her what the food and traditions are like, because I wasn't sure. I really don't know much about it at all. Aside from, and she didn't mention this, but when I got married, the person that we had marry us, we asked her if there were any sort of Persian traditions that we could incorporate into our wedding. And there was something with honey. And it was like the bride and the groom dip their finger in honey and feed it to each other to like ensure a sweet life. Something like that. I thought it was nice.
That's
and
so sweet.
And I still have the little jar that we used for the honey in my house. But it was nice. I thought it was a nice little symbolic thing. But so she says, usually there are different kinds of foods for wedding, and it depends on the family and, of course, how much you wish to pay. Story of everyone's life, right? Sure. Then she gave examples from the wedding a couple weeks ago. She says, at first they start with some small finger fried foods like mushroom and chicken. As for drinks, they offered some carrot juice, mojito, and I'll come back to that in a second, a drink made with peanuts, coffee and milk, banana milk, and grape juice, all with designs, fruits, and marshmallows. I'm like trying to picture it. Some of it might be a little bit lost in translation, but I asked about mojitos because Iran, if you don't know, it's illegal to have alcohol. And she said mojito, because I said here in the U.S., mojito is rum and lime and mint. And she said,
right.
Mojito is an herbal drink that's made from a combination of mint, water, and lemon. We do not add alcohol to it. So that was a little different. Because I'm thinking, wow, like all these like juices and milks and like mojitos, hey. So she said, as time passed and all the guests were sitting, they brought out some sweets like small cakes, tarts, and fruits all on the tables. And we got baklava as well. There was a lot of variety for the main course of the night. There were large dishes arranged in a large hall so everyone could take as much as they wanted on their plate. So like a big buffet. Because when I asked my dad, he told me they had chicken nuggets and fish. And I'm like, I feel like there's more to it than that.
I love that. Yeah. Chicken nuggets and fish.
I got paragraphs from my cousin when I'm talking to my dad. He was just like, oh yeah, chicken nuggets and fish. I'm like, that doesn't sound very, especially when you see like the elegance and the flowers and all this stuff. I'm like, that doesn't seem like what they would have. Then she said, if I remember correctly, for stews, there was fesenjoon, gourmet sabzi. She said chicken feed, but that must be a translation thing. Chicken kebab and kubide kebab. There were two models of pasta as well. There was plain rice, zarshek, I don't know how to pronounce that, pilaf, shivad pilaf. So a bunch of different types of rice dishes. If you ever go to a Persian restaurant, you'll see like they have plain basmati rice, but they'll also have ones with different things kind of mixed in. So whether it's like dill and like fava beans or sour cherries or currants. So there's a lot of different types of rice. Mm. She said also some fried chicken could be found, various kinds of salad, like corn salad, lettuce salad. They also had a table of desserts, chocolate and strawberry cake, tiramisu, wedding cake, chocolate and pudding. And then she gave me a little bit more information also about like the traditions of the wedding there. So like she said, different cities kind of have different styles for that. But like for this particular wedding, it's a long time. So the wedding went from 5 p.m. till midnight. And then there was some interesting stuff about like the customs with giving gifts and all that stuff. But that was the food thing. She did say before cutting the wedding cake, three or two relatives of the bride and groom dance with a decorated knife and finally hand the knife to the bride and groom to cut the cake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I know I saw a picture of my cousin and her new husband sitting at the, like sitting at their table. And I said, what was on that table? Because it looked like some nuts and stuff. And she said, the wedding table, that's the place the groom and bride would say their vows to each other. And there's on the different platters, there were nuts, but there was also gold, water, flowers, rice, and stuff like that. So each of the things have their own meaning. So she says, like, the rice is the symbol of good sustenance. Gold is the symbol of wishing to be rich. Water is the symbol of purity. And then there is some kind of candy on the left, which is a symbol of sweetness and happiness in life. So I just thought it was interesting. There's, like, different symbolic things and apparently chicken nuggets, according to my dad. But I don't know. I don't know about that.
Sounds very lavish.
Yeah.
And I know you had mentioned that the flowers were absolutely gorgeous.
My allergies, just looking at them, were like, oof. I feel like I would. Yeah. It was gorgeous. But yeah, very, very fancy looking. So I think I've been to fancy here, but I think that was, you know.
Yeah. But I do think the theme across that we're seeing is just this complete celebratory atmosphere, which I think is universal when it comes to couples getting married. And it's just a very exciting time, and certainly an exciting time in our family.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I hope that these last few weeks of wedding planning go well and that her wedding is beautiful. And I can't wait to see some pictures, and you'll have to report back on the food.
Oh, I will definitely.
You can find the show notes for today's episode at passingtheplate.org/14. That's a wrap on this episode of Passing the Plate. We hope you enjoyed our journey into the world of food, traditions, and the amazing connections they create.
It's been a pleasure sharing these stories and flavors with you. Remember, food is more than just sustenance. It's a way to connect with our past, present, and future.
So keep sharing your meals, keep passing those plates, and keep creating memories that will last a lifetime. Head to passingtheplate.org/podcast for show notes.